Today is November 10th, 2017. I am sitting here with Ms. Jeb Hill at the Gainsborough Library, and I am going to interview her for my project. And I'm going to start off by asking you to tell me a little bit about your childhood.
Well, I grew up in the 500 block of Chestnut Avenue. However, I was born at a house on Rutherford Avenue, 842. And then we moved soon after I was born there to 519 Chestnut Avenue. And in my neighborhood, you had, I had teachers, just all kinds of people in my neighborhood. And everybody in my neighborhood, or in my community as a whole, they knew one another. So you couldn't act up anywhere you would go because people would know your family. And they could, parents or other people in the community, correct you if they saw you doing something incorrect.
Would you say that was a common pattern amongst your generation?
Yes.
So how long have you lived in Roanoke?
All my life.
Okay. Is there a specific part of Roanoke? It's broken up into different sections.
Yes, and I live in the northwest section. And I've lived there all my life. When I grew up, I was in the lower part of northwest. And now I'm in the upper part of northwest. Years ago, African Americans could not live past 10th Street, which I was over 50, I guess about 55 years ago. You could not live past 10th Street. So I lived in the lower part of northwest.
Okay. So part of that boundary, what was in front of, so what was the white boundary? So if African Americans couldn't go past 10th, what was...
It was 10th Street. African Americans over 50 some years ago, I'd say probably 55 now, couldn't live past 10th Street, which would be over when you cross over Orange Avenue, that part of 10th Street, you couldn't live there, like Red St. Gerard's Catholic Church. That would be, that part of Orange Avenue would be the cutoff point.
Okay.
And once you got to Ruby Boulevard and all that, starting, you were not able to live over there over 55 years ago. And the majority of the people that live there, even the house that we bought, that I live in now, 2721 Cove Road, that was a predominant white area. Now where I live, it's diverse. I guess I don't care where you live, period. You just have all different culture groups now.
So when did you notice that shift from it being a predominantly white area and black area to it being more diverse?
Well, once when I moved to the 2721 Cove Road, the person who built the houses in that area was a white contractor. And at the time we moved there, he was still living there. And you had, he was there, you had a couple other whites right in that 2700 block. The whole block, but right in the block where I live, you had a African-American teacher on the corner. You had another African-American on one side of me, and she was head of Head Start in Roanoke, and then my family. And then it was another white lady and her mother and father that lived on the other side. And then another African-American couple who her husband worked at the railroad, so right in that block. That's what you had, a very diverse group then, even when I moved up there over 40 years ago.
So was it just that part of the town that was becoming diverse, or was the whole town?
Roanoke, in 2011, was noted as being the most segregated city in the South or in the state, and the reason why on account of housing patterns. Now, Northwest Roanoke has always been more where the African Americans live. But now, all over Roanoke, which is divided into sections, you have different races of people living there. But the majority of African Americans here live in Northwest or North County.
Is this an intentional part on African Americans, or is it something that they have just had to react to because of the events that have happened?
Probably the events, and like I said, it has to do with housing patterns. And of course, when you grew up, you lived in Northwest, and in certain parts of town, you knew you didn't want to be caught there, like Southeast Roanoke. I can remember years ago, and I had just gotten my car, and I was out riding around with my mother and another friend that I grew up, and I made a wrong turn, and we were in Southeast Roanoke, and it said, and I said, oh gosh, we got to get out of here. It was a sign in the yard that said, no niggas and Jews allowed. And I said, get out of here, you know, anyway. And that was insane. But, you know, like I said, now in Roanoke, you have different races living in different sections. But you still would have the largest section of African Americans living in Northwest Roanoke. But they can live anywhere, and they do. But the most concentrated, you still have more African Americans in Northwest Roanoke. And a lot of it, Roanoke is so segregated, and it has to do with housing. I wish I might have to mail you that article. But, yeah.
So about what year was that event where you drove down to Southeast and you saw that sign?
Probably. I'm going to say 1967, around that time, 67 or 68.
Mm-hmm. How long did it take after that point for things like that to dissipate?
I don't think they ever really dissipated. I think sometimes people cover up things better. But you still have a lot of that today. And I was a person in college that was picketing and demonstrating for equal rights. And we had different races of people walking the picket line with us. But I think today, it's never been gone, racism. But what's going on in the past several months reminds me more like, well, in the past 4 or 5 years, it reminds me more of like what was going on in the 60s, how people are, and they're more open with their racial thoughts and saying things to you.
What would you attribute that to?
Oh, Lord.